here than in a snowstorm. Amen. The only time my wife and I ever fuss is when it's going to storm, when it's going to have a snowstorm. She wants snow. I could care less. And we just don't agree. I just say no just to make her mad. And I hope she's not listening tonight. And I'm just glad to be here. I want to thank all of you that sent me cards and tell me that you're praying for me. That meant something. And to me, this is my second home. Morning View Baptist Church is my home. I have some people here tonight from our church. And for those that forgot that showed up at Morning View, bless their heart. But anyway, I do appreciate them being here. But thank you for your prayers. And I love my mom and dad. I don't get to be in church, but maybe once or twice a year with them. I'm glad that I'm getting a chance to be with them. And there's a special place in my heart for Snyder and his family. There's a friendship that God has birthed just for us. And he's my family. Now, if you are a member of the family of God, you are my family. And whether you like me or not, or you think I'm ugly, I'm still a part of your family. I may be like an old uncle, but I'm still a part of your family. But I'm so glad that our family spreads. That's all I'm going to say because I'm here to preach. And what I'm going to tell you tonight, I mean and I believe with all my heart. I have an assignment, and it is this. In these last days, I wish that more Christians were more energetic than Satan. Satan is so on attack right now. I've watched more Christians under oppression because of Satan is under attack. What's wrong, preacher? I tell you what's wrong. He knows that we're living in the last days. We have just ignored it. And so he is attacking us. And people that are going to church are defeated. I want to give you something. Here's my assignment tonight. I want to make known the faithfulness of God. Your answer is not outside this church. Your answer is not in your friends. Your answer is not even in your family. Your answer is in the faithfulness of God. I'm glad that God is faithful. I don't care who it is that you turn to. God is faithful. And so I want to just make known that tonight. If you would you stand to your feet? And let's read one verse of Scripture out of Psalms chapter number 89. Psalms chapter number 89. And I want to say it's good to be in the meeting with old pals. Good to see Doug and Tim. And I enjoyed you singing. You could have sung the Midnight Cry for another 10 times. John, I preached last Sunday. John said we're living in the last days. I think we're in the last moments of those last days. And I told our people, I said, whether you like it or not, you'll have to change churches if you're not going to hear this. But every week I tell them once or twice, and my members will tell you, that I let them know Jesus is coming. And I believe he is coming. And at the midnight cry, we may meet at 11:59:59. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus is coming. But I want to remind you, until he comes, he's faithful. How do I know that? Psalms 89, verse number 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Now listen to this. And with my mouth, I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for the next few moments that you would help us as we preach. There's nothing more than just to be here tonight. Dear Lord, thrills my soul. But I'm not here to entertain, and I'm not here to please man. I'm here tonight, dear Lord, that you would get glory and honor, just as old paths have done, just as the choir here at Calvary has always blessed my soul. I'm glad there's freedom. I'm glad, dear Lord, that we can go to the cross and still get saved. I'm glad it's still the blood of Jesus Christ. But, dear Lord, there are many that won't ever see where you hung on the cross. But I'm glad because of the cross we're going to heaven. So I thank you for your faithfulness that you're still saving you're saving people today. And I ask you, dear Lord, the blood still works. And I pray if there's one person here tonight that's lost, that they'll come to Jesus Christ. If that person is saved but yet have gotten away from God, I pray that they'll come back to you. And for that person that's discouraged, that's been beat up by Satan, Lord, our problem's not with people. Our problem's not even with our problems. Our problems is with our enemy, Satan. And Lord, but we are victorious because You are faithful. Lord, help us to be reminded of that tonight. And I thank you for what you're going to do. Change our life before we leave. For it is in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Most of you have heard this story, but I want to tell it anyway. There were two little boys that just could not get along with each other. I mean, they didn't hate each other, but they just couldn't get along. So the mother didn't know what to do. The dad didn't know what to do. And they voted in a new preacher. And they said, well, the preacher doesn't know these boys, so why don't we just take the boys to the preacher and see if the preacher straightened them out. And after the mama told him, the preacher, what was going on, he said, I'll talk to him under one condition, that I see him one at a time. And she said, okay. So she started with the little one. He was about 10 years old. The other was about 13. So he came in. The pastor looked at him, didn't know this little boy, just knew his name, called his name, and he said, son, I'm going to ask you a question. He just sat there for a minute and finally said, where is God? The little boy looked at him. And the pastor finally just, he was standing up then, just sat down, but then with a stern look, he said, son, I'm going to ask you again. Where is God? Well, that little boy got scared. He ran out of that office, ran down the hall, went down the steps, and went out from the church. They lived about two blocks. He ran two blocks to his house, went up the stairs, went into his closet, and he slammed the door. They had no idea where he was. They looked for him for about 2 hours. Finally, his brother just said, well, maybe he's in the room. And he went upstairs, looked in the closet, and his brother said, close that door. He said, well, son, what in the world's going on? He said, man, he said, we're in big trouble. We are in big trouble. He said, what do you mean? He said, God's missing, and they think we did it. Now, I want to ask you a question tonight. Now, maybe you haven't heard it. But I want to ask you a question tonight. I wonder how many or someone here that has thought in your Christian life that God is missing. I wonder if there's someone here, and I believe we can all testify, well, we would never say it in church. But I wonder if someone could be honest and said, man, God, I felt like God was strangely missing and absent in my life. Because at one time you felt the presence of God. At one time you heard the voice of God. At one time it thrilled you to come to church. But all of a sudden, you feel as though that God has abandoned you. More than likely, you've had an experience like this. You have looked up either in a service or in a situation and you said, God, are you even there? God, have you forgotten me? It may have been in an ICU waiting room. It may have been dealing with children. It may have been here at church. But you reached a point where you said, God, have you left me here to face this situation all alone? Have I reached a point to where you don't care anymore? Now, some of you will look at me and say, well, preacher, I would never say that, but many of us have thought it. And I wonder if, but just because you're here tonight lets me know that you know that God is faithful, because He hasn't given up on you. He hasn't let you down. He's always come through. So your presence here tonight lets me know that you still believe that God is faithful. Folks, He's not missing in action. God is forever faithful. How do I know that? Hebrews 13, verse number 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Here's what Hebrews 13 says. God is not going to abandon you. God's not going to give up on you. God is not going to forsake you. God's not going to let you down. God is not going to leave you helpless. And the next time, it's not when He comes, but the next time Satan comes to you and he looks at you with those evil eyes and tells you that God's abandoned you, tells you that God's put you here and you shouldn't have ever followed Him to begin with, because He told you a long time ago that He's going to let you come here and He's going to leave you alone. Next time Satan comes to you and he tries to lie to you, then you get your flag of victory and you plant it in the sand of doubt and you tell him, by the grace of God, God is forever faithful. I believe tonight that we need to understand, you may not feel him at this very moment, and I may not know what you're going through, but folks, can I remind you of something? We need to learn to put our faith in in His faithfulness. We are weak and frail. We are doubters at times. But may I remind you, we need to rest everything in us on His reliability. God is always faithful. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Now therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, He which keepeth covenant and mercy with him that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, "God is faithful, by whom we were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ." 2 Peter 3:9, "God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Can I tell you something tonight? I want you to enjoy the sermon, but if you don't get anything else I say, I want you to leave here tonight knowing God is faithful, and He'll always be faithful to you. This is a remark that you can't say about possessions, you can't say about places, you can't even say about people. Listen, there are friends that forsake you. You've had people that have turned their back on you. You've had occasions where people that said they would stand with you have walked away from you. Now don't get too hard on them, because folks, we have said things, we've told people we were going to be there before, and we've let them down. So we're all in it, and having a relationship is risky business. But folks, people fail you. Hey, finances fail us. You think about it. Think about the economy crash. Think about innocent people that have lost hundreds and thousands of dollars, not because they spent their money wrongly, but just because of what's going on. But here's the problem with most people I know. They're putting their trust in the wrong thing. They're putting their trust in the wrong people. What they need to do is understand that God will never let you down. God has always and forever will be faithful to you. Now, don't you listen to this statement. Some great man said years ago, "A man would be better to say that there's no God than to say that God is unfaithful." Can I say that? Are y'all with me tonight? Say amen. Amen. A man would be better to say that there is no God than to say that God is unfaithful. I want to tell you something. I've got confidence tonight that God is who He says He is. And God does what He says He's going to do. Why? God is forever faithful. There's never been a time in my life, nor will there ever be a time in my life, that I should ever find God, and we will never find God, unreliable, untrustworthy, and undependable. Hey, can I tell you something? God has never said, "Oops." God's never had to have a redo. God's never used a mulligan. Those of you that golf, just go right over your head. God is in time. God is on time. And God is there every time. And God was there before. God's going to be there again. And since God's going to be there now, He's going to be there forever. God is forever faithful. Can I tell you something? You're living in a difficult time. We're living in difficult days, but don't give up. You know why? Because some of you are saying right now, "Hey, I'm telling you, it's been bad on my end, but God's been there. God's helped me." And some of you need to understand what God did before, He's going to come through for you again. I want to tell you, God is forever faithful. Now, if you're going to look for Him, you're going to find Him. And when you find Him, you're going to find Him faithful. So let's discover the faithfulness of God. Because what we need to do, we just need to discover the faithfulness of who He is. And if you're going to stand on something, you've got to understand it. And the order to understand it is this, to understand simply this: God is forever faithful. You say, "Well, how can I understand it?" Well, the Word of God tells us that He is faithful. This Bible, hold up your Bible, hold up your Bible. This Bible that you hold in your hand right here, every word, every chapter, whether His name is on it or not, this Bible calls forth that God is faithful. Can I have you to take your Bible quickly to 2 Timothy chapter number 2? While you're turning, let me read to you a couple of verses of Scripture. Hebrews 10:23, the Bible said, "He is faithful that promised." Every promise that we have in His book will be kept because God is faithful. How many of you believe that tonight? First Thessalonians, don't turn to these verses because I want you to get to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. But 1 Thessalonians 5:24, the Bible said, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." But I want you to listen to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. This struck me funny several months ago. Don't you listen to what he said. I'm not going to ask you how many of you ever doubted God's word, because none of you would raise your hand. Because we're Baptists and we don't like to expose who we are. But just in case you have doubted God, notice verse number 13 of 2 Timothy 2. "If ye believe not," you won't confess, I will. There have been times I've wondered, God, where are you? I don't feel you. And God, why are you letting all this come into my life? Notice the next part. "Yet he abideth faithful." It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. He's going to be faithful. This word is still true. Why? We've got a God that does not possess one ounce of ever being anything but faithful to his people. Folks, do you know what? Listen to me. Owen, if you don't get this outside of being about God being faithful, you need to get this. It is impossible for God not to be faithful. Can I say that one more time? It's impossible for God not to be faithful. See, faithfulness is not one of God's actions. This is one of his attributes. It's not what God does. It's who God is. Numbers 23:19. You ought to read this when you get home. "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. For he has said, shall he not do it? He has spoken, shall he not make it good?" Well, y'all may not be getting anything out of this, but I'm going to have a time while I'm here. All right? Are y'all with me? God is faithful. Titus 1:2 says, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promises before the world began." God is faithful. You say, "Well, how do I know?" Well, then, let's just bring some witnesses up here. Moses, is God faithful? Well, there was a time when God told me to go lead Israel out of Egypt, and I said, "Who is going to believe me?" Well, God's faithful because he said, "You just tell him I am that sent you." Well, not only did he lead him out of Egypt, and you know the story about the 10 plagues and how that God finally got Pharaoh's attention, and then he led him out. Well, they was in the wilderness for 40 years out of the will of God. But you know what God did? God was still faithful, because every day he only fed them with about 11 million gallons of food a day, and only about 1,500 tons of food a day, and he only sent about 750,000 quails a day. Now I'm from Alabama, that's a big number for 40 years, but he did it every single day. Why? God is faithful. Why, Joshua, after Moses died, God told him, Joshua said, "I can't do this." God said, "Yeah, you can, I'm faithful. Because as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." And I just want to let you know that all these cities that you're about to get, you don't have to go earn them. They're already yours because I'm faithful. You know what Joshua wrote? He said, "Not one thing failed of the good things which the Lord has spake." There was a woman in 2 Kings chapter number 4 that her husband had died. She had a debt. God sent a man by the name of Elisha. Elisha said, "Tell me what you have." She said, "All I have is just a pot of oil." He said, "That's good, because God's faithful." He said, "You don't need any more oil. You need to go borrow some empty vessels." You say, "Preacher, why empty vessels?" You tell me why God does some things. The reason why God does some things that we can't explain, because he always gets the glory that way. Well, the Bible said that she went, and as she began her sons, I don't know how many vessels, but all the vessels, when every time that they put that empty vessel under, that oil began to come out. Why? God is faithful. And every vessel was not half full. They were completely filled. They were so full that not only did they sell it and they paid their debt, but they lived on the rest. Why? God. Have I told you? God is faithful. You may be here tonight and you feel like you have failed. And you feel like that you just lost it. God has no place for you in his ministry. Let me tell you something. What I'm afraid has happened in our churches, I'm afraid we've lost the power of God. And I'm afraid that we're not as effective as we once did. You know who by the name of Samson? The Bible said that Samson had the strength, but he said, God told him, he said, don't let one razor, don't let one of your hairs be touched. The Bible said that he fell into the lap of Delilah. And the Bible said that when she began to cut his hair, he rose, according to Judges 16, just as other times. But he didn't know at that time that the power of God had gone. They made fun of him. They poked their eyes out. And I just want to pause here and say, that's what the world's doing to the church now. They used to fear us, but I'm afraid they're poking fun of us. Why? There's something missing. But oh, can I tell you, God is faithful. Because when Samson, he got a little lad and he said, son, will you take me to the pillars, to the strongest pillars? Now, won't you listen to what Samson prayed, which I pray Calvary and Morning View and any other church that's listening and any other church that's representative, that we pray this prayer. Oh, Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen thee, I pray thee, once, oh God, that I may avenge once again the Philistines this day. And he killed more with the power of God before he died than all the time that he was alive. Oh, have I told you, Doug? God's faithful. David. Some of you looking like, man, you've lost your mind. I'm here to tell you, God's faithful. David, God came upon him. He killed a lion and he killed a bear to prepare him for a giant. And he faced that giant. He looked at him. He wouldn't take Saul's armor. He said, nope, it doesn't fit me. Let me tell you something. The world's armor don't fit us. But let me tell you what does fit us. Five smooth stones. It's called grace. I didn't come here for y'all to look at me that way. Y'all with me tonight? Say amen. I know you're listening. I know you. He took five smooth stones. He needed four more for his other brothers, but he only needed one shot. Samson came to him, 9'2". And he looked at him and he said, I just want to let you know. You come to me in that big sword, that big shield, and that big spear, but I've come to you in the name of Jesus. You know what happened? That stone left that sling, hit him right in the head. Last thing ever entered his mind. And the Bible said that he fell down. Why? It was not the authority of the stone. God is faithful. I just want to tell you, God is faithful. Jeremiah went to prison because of what he said and what he did. He was beaten. You know what the Bible said he wrote in Lamentations 3? He said, it is of the mercies. It is of the Lord's mercies. We are not consumed because of his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. There were three Hebrew children. Y'all still with me? There are three Hebrew children that went. There were 300,000 that Nebuchadnezzar said, I want you to bow to my God. So when they sounded the music, there were 299,997 that bowed. But there were three that stuck out like a sore thumb. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're not going to bow. He said, we'll turn the furnace up seven times. They sounded the music again. 299,997 bowed. Three did not. He said, man, we're going to throw you in a fiery furnace. He said, I want to tell you something, King. He said, the Lord may deliver us out, but if not, we're still not going to bow. And when he went into the fire, guess how many they counted? Not one, not two, not three. Have I told you? God's faithful. Even when they turn it seven times hotter. And aren't you glad the preacher got it right? When three came out and the one stayed in there, he said, I'm never going to preach him out, because as long as I'm going through the fire, I want him in there when I get in there. I want to tell you something. He's going to be in there. Have I told you? This is going to ring in your ears. God is faithful. How many of you believe that tonight? Hey, you think of Daniel? You think of Daniel in the lion's den? They said, quit praying. You know what he did? He didn't.
He just kept praying. They passed a decree. You know the story. I have to be brief or I'll be here all night. But Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. And the Bible said all. Listen, if you read Daniel chapter number 6, I believe Daniel was the only one that got a good night's sleep. That king was like this all night. And then I read, I've overlooked this, but you read when you get home. Daniel chapter number 6, the very next morning, here's what the king said. Read it when you get home. He said, Daniel, the living God that you serve continually, did he come through? King, you woke me up. God sent an angel last night. And by the way, you can live forever. Because King Jesus, being faithful as he is, sent an angel last night, closed those lions' mouths. And I've had the best night's sleep I've had. Can I tell you something? God's faithful. The Word of God tells me. I'm confident of this. I'm not, listen, I don't fully understand it, but I do know one thing. The Word of God lets me know that anytime I need Him, anything that I need, He's going to be there because He's faithful. Think about the world that we live in. Psalms 36, verse number 5, He said, Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Can I tell you something? You didn't have to wake up this morning wondering if the sun was going to shine. You know why? He's faithful. We don't have to worry about the wind blowing. The wind has got to blow at least a little bit or we die. But you know what? You don't ever see it, but God's faithful. Well, this world is just out of sort. Oh, no. Oh, no. He's spinning it the way it's supposed to. He's got His hand on the throttle. He's in control. So may I remind you of something? Your car may go bad. Your oven may go down. You can still go out to eat. You can still hitchhike. And you can, and when things break down at home, if your refrigerator breaks down, you can go and borrow your neighbor's, all right? But what I'm trying to say is this. Those things are unreliable. But every morning you wake up, He's still in control. Why? God is forever faithful. See, if we discover it, now we've got to examine it. Because in our day and time, people say, well, I've got to have proof. I'm glad you asked. Let's examine it for just a moment. Let's just examine it in our salvation. How many of you are glad you're saved tonight? Say amen. Amen. Remember the day you got saved? Remember the day you asked Jesus to come into your heart? And this is an interesting question, so I want to ask you this and think about it. How many of you were saved the very first time God dealt with your heart? Lift up your hand. You look over here. Maybe 10, 11 people. Folks, aren't you glad God's faithful to keep coming back? To keep coming. Amen? Don't look. Hey, look, God's faithful. And I am sure glad the day I got saved that He didn't say, oops, you have to take a number. All that was supposed to have been saved got saved today. You'll have to come back tomorrow. Oh, no. Look, I didn't mean that. I'm just trying to joke with you, all right? He didn't say, I met my quota. No, that verse of Scripture that worked the day I got saved is a verse of Scripture that still works today. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? He said, my Father gives those to me, and those He gives to me I will in no wise cast out. Hey, have I told you? God's faithful. Amen. In salvation. Don't turn, but He's faithful in our confirmation. Listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 8 and 9 said. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Not only does salvation begin with Him, it continues with Him, and it's going to end with Him. And what He starts, He will finish. Why? God is faithful. Now take your Bible to Psalms 119, to a verse of Scripture that I want you to look at very hard, especially for some of you that are going through a tough time right now. See, we believe God's faithful when everything is good. I want to show you a verse of Scripture that really just blows my mind, and it took me a long time to really digest this. I still haven't fully digested it.
I want you to listen to what he said. How many of you believe that he's faithful in your salvation? How many of you believe he's faithful in his confirmation that he's going to take us to heaven? It's not you holding on to him. It's him holding on to you. But let me just park right here where many of you are. He's faithful in our tribulation. Now, I'm not talking about the great tribulation. I'm talking about trials that we go through. You have your Bible in Psalms 119, notice 75. Notice verse number 75. Now, I want you to listen to it carefully. If I would have read this without you turning, some of you would have looked at me and wondered where that came from. So listen carefully. Psalms 119, 75. You believe the Bible will be the Word of God? Amen. Hey, look at me. You believe God's faithful? Amen. Do you believe God's faithful? Amen. Listen to this verse. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou, listen, in faithfulness, has afflicted me. You listen to what he said. Oh goodness. If God will help me for a moment. I don't know what you're going through in your life. But I just want to let you know right up front before I say anything else. God always does what's right. You have to really think about this, especially if you're here tonight and you think all hell's broken loose. The faithfulness of God sometimes afflicts us. And a photographer takes his film in the dark to develop pictures. And there are dark times when God shuts out the light. When Jubilee, like last year, when Jubilee comes, and God was good, but now we've had a year. After Jubilee last year, something happened. The faithfulness of God afflicted you. He shut the light out on you. But the light's going to come back on. Because he's developing a picture that you don't see. I can testify to the fact that God is faithful. When we lost my brother, going through a building program, having close friends turn their back on you, having people hurt you. I'm telling you, when you felt like that you had the whole world at your disposal, and then something happens and now you feel like you're all alone, and the sun doesn't seem to shine. You can't even see the stars. But how can you have a testimony without a test? How can you stand up and say God's grace is sufficient unless he puts you in a darkness where all you could do was lean on him? Oh, if I told you God's faithful, how many of you believe that? Some of you need to be convinced of that right now. Because, see, when I go to a funeral home, many times I felt so inadequate. Because I go to a family and I said, I know what you're going through. But after December the 19th, 2011, we had not hundreds. There was about 600 at my brother's funeral. There were probably thousands of people that prayed for his healing. My father stood in his pulpit. I know your preacher did. Pray for Tommy Burgess. But on December the 19th, a little after 8 o'clock, after traveling all night, we had just talked about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Dad said, how do you feel? I said, I think everything's going to be all right. 8 o'clock, cold blue. All of a sudden, we're going in to where my brother is. All of a sudden, he's having deepness of breath. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, oh God. Oh God, don't you hear our prayer? And someone said, we need to sing. So we started singing, what a day that'll be. I watched my brother struggle. And then we got to that last verse. There'll be no sorrow there.
No more burdens to bear. You say, where was the faithfulness of God? I tell you where He was. He was in that ICU room. He didn't pass by. He stopped. You know why? The faithfulness of God escorted Him to glory. And the power and the peace sat down on that place that morning. Why? God is faithful. You say, are you disappointed? Sure, I still want Him alive. Still, I have His number in my phone. And I still want to call Him. Let me tell you who I've been calling on lately. The one that was there didn't leave. He took him on to glory. He said, take him on. I've got to comfort this family. So God just stayed there with us. You know what? Oh, have I told you? God's faithful. So He just stayed there with us. Then we had to go and we had to start calling friends. We had to start calling family. Guess what? God was still faithful. Then we had to go to the funeral home. Guess what? God was still faithful. Then we had to go to the funeral. Guess what? God was still faithful. And you know what the first song they sung? Midnight Cry. I thought, oh God, would you come back today? He said, I'm already here. May you be with me personally one of these days. Why? Oh, I need to tell you, just in case you missed it, God's faithful. God's faithful to you. And God will be faithful no matter what you go through. God's going to be faithful to you if your wife says she doesn't love you anymore. God's going to love you if your husband walks out. God's going to love you if you're, and He's going to be faithful even if your children don't come back right away. Even if all hell breaks loose. Even if you lose your job. Even if you lose some money. I'm here to tell you, God is faithful, not because of what He does, but because of who He is. He never changes. I'm here to tell you the reason why I know He's faithful, because I know it. I've been there. Amen. You know, if we could just get people to understand. I have many people saying, what in the world's going on out there? I'm thinking it's not out there. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today because He's faithful. He's faithful in our tribulation. Thank God I haven't got that out of me yet. He's faithful. And I know I got to quit, but He's faithful. God's faithful. God's faithful when you're hurting. God's faithful when you're crying. God's faithful when you can't explain it. Somebody said, well, if I could just talk with somebody, get on your hands and knees to the one that His phone is never busy. He'll always be there. God is faithful. I got two more things. God's faithful in our temptation. He makes a way of escape. God knows where you are and He gives you strength to overcome it. You don't have to fall into temptation. Thank God, I'm glad He's faithful to help us through it. But I do want you to take your Bible right quickly to 1 John chapter number 1, because He's faithful in our conviction. See, there's somebody here tonight, you need Jesus. I'm not going to ask you how many of you tonight have ever said, God, I'll never do it again, and you did it again. I'm glad there's nobody here but me that does that. Well, preacher, I've done this thing 50 times. Let me tell you something. Have I told you? God's faithful. One little girl came down the altar to pray. The pastor said, you coming to get saved? She said, no, I'm saved. I just backfired this week. Well, she meant backslid, but folks, let me tell you something. We all backfire. And I'm looking at some that may have backfired, and you're thinking, I have no hope. Hey, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, oh, have I told you? He's faithful. And just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, well, how many sins? We'll go back to verse number 7. He forgives us of all sins and He cleanses all of our sins with His blood. So I'm here to tell you, I don't care if you've backfired. I don't care if you're going through the greatest storm in your life. It doesn't matter if you're lost. God's faithful. He wants to come to you. Folks, we've discovered it. We've explained it or examined it. The only other thing I know to do, we need to appreciate it. Can you give me about another 3 or 4 minutes? And Pastor, I hope I've not gone over. I'm sorry. But I had to share with you because I believe Jesus is coming. And I do not want to stand before Him and look Him in the eye and say, man, I wish I'd have believed you. Some of you need to believe God more than ever. Let me tell you something.
When Jubilee time comes, we have a great time of fellowship, a great time of enjoying ourselves. But I'm going to tell you something, real life still happens. You're still going to have anxiety. You're still going to have disappointments. You're still going to have trouble. But God is faithful. When you get news, bad news, and there, I think there's a man that's listening tonight. I told him he just got some bad news. I won't tell you what it was. Got some bad news today from the doctor, or the other day from the doctor. He's got cancer. And I told his brother. I had his brother on my mind. I called him. I said, "Hey man, praying for you." He called me back, and he said, "Man, my brother found out he has cancer." And I said, "I want him to listen to this, not because I'm preaching. I just believe what I'm preaching. I believe God is faithful." And but you may have gotten bad news, or you'll get bad news. But I want to tell you something. It doesn't mean that God's not faithful. It doesn't mean He's abandoning you. Don't go by your feelings. God is faithful. There was a little boy that he was 3 years old, and his dad was about 6'1". And he was in a pool, that the pool was no deeper than 5 foot. Well, this little boy was enjoying it, being in his dad's arm, but then all of a sudden, his dad started going in the deep end. He said, "Deeper, deeper." And this little boy just grabbed onto his daddy. "Daddy, don't, daddy, don't, daddy, don't." See, that little boy would have enjoyed the ride a whole lot better if he understood that his dad knew the situation, knew that his head would never go underwater, and knew that he was always safe in his arms. That's what we do sometimes. God said, "We're going to take you a little deeper." "God, oh God." And he said, "No, whatever's, it may be over your head, but it's not over mine." Amen. And anytime he wants to, he can just walk on it. Yep. Hallelujah. Oh, hey, have I told you? God's faithful. So you can rely on it, you can have peace in it, and it keeps you going. I want to tell a story now, I'm finished, because there are people who say, "Now, preacher, I agree with everything you said, but if you only knew my situation, I just don't see God's hand working. Will you give me a moment of your time and I'm done?" There was a man, I read this story several years ago, and I thought this is perfect to end it. His name is Roger Sims. Roger Sims had spent his last moment in the Army. On his way, he lives right outside of Chicago. He took his uniform off. He thought, "Man, this is it." He had his Army bag, hitchhiking, nobody picked him up. Here comes this big, brand new black Cadillac. He just turned around and he said, "Well, he won't pick me up." Well, sure enough, he did. He opened the door and put his bags in the back, and he said, "Son," he said, "Where are you going?" He said, "Well," I said, "I'm going near Chicago." He said, "Well, I live in Chicago. My business is in Chicago. I'm going that way. I'll take you home." He said, "What you been doing?" He said, "I've just finished the Army." He said, "That's great." Roger Sims was a Christian. He's sitting there. He's got a free ride. The Holy Spirit said, "Speak to him. Speak to Mr. Hanover." He said, "Holy Spirit, this is my way home." And he began to argue with him about 30 minutes away from home. Finally, he said, "Mr. Hanover," he said, "I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian. I'm a passionate believer." He said, "I need to ask you a question. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" He began to explain to him how that Jesus died on the cross for his sin, how that he rose again, how that he forgave him of all of his sin. Well, immediately, Mr. Hanover pulled over. Roger Sims said, "Well, I'll have to get a way home." But no, Mr. Hanover pulled over and he said, "I want to pray." Mr. Hanover got saved. Amen. And here's what he told me. He said, "This is the best day of my life." And that was on May 7th. Keep that in mind. Roger Sims, on May the 7th, led Mr. Hanover to the Lord. Well, Mr. Hanover left him out of his home. He gave him a card. And he said, "Anytime you're in Chicago, I'll treat you to lunch. Come over. Make sure you're taken care of." "Yes, sir." Well, it was about 2 years later. No, excuse me. It was about 5 years later. He had already been married. Roger had a two-year-old son. And he was going to Chicago, and he ran across Mr. Hanover's card, and he said, "I'm going to go see him. Not to get a free lunch, just to say hello. See how he was doing." He went into Hanover's business, went up, and he told the secretary, he said, "I'm here to see Mr. Hanover." And she said, "Well, that's impossible." He said, "Man, that's strange." And she said, "But you can see his wife." He thought that was even stranger, but anyway, he went in, and he said, saw a distinguished lady, and he said, "Ma'am, you Miss Hanover?" She said, "Yes." She said, "Did you know my husband?" He said, "Oh, very well." She said, "Tell me how you met him." And he said, "Oh," he said, "he picked me up from, I was my last day in the Army. He picked me up and he took me home." And she said, "What day was that?" He said, "May 7th. And she said, "Do you know of anything special that happened?" Well, he didn't want to offend her. But finally he said, "Ma'am," he said,
your husband pulled over, and I got a chance to lead him to Jesus, and he got gloriously saved. And when he said that, she lost it. She said, "Oh God, oh God." He said, if I've offended you, she said, "No." She said, because on May the 7th, it had to be shortly after he let you out, he was hit head on and got killed. And she said, from that moment on, I quit serving God. She said, I thought God let him go to hell. And for 5 years, I let God down. But now I realize God didn't let me down. God was faithful. And oh, may I remind you tonight, you may have a May 7th and you're trying to figure out what in the world's going on. You know what I'm going to do? If nobody comes to pray, I'm going to keep preaching because God's faithful. And if nobody responds, keep singing because God's faithful. And if you have children or people that are lost, keep praying. Why? God is faithful. And I know He is. He's never going to let you down. I don't care what your feelings are telling you. I don't care what Satan tells you. If God be true, I'm done. Let every man be a liar. I'm glad my assignment tonight is to let you know in this generation, God is. God is faithful. Heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. I'm not going to beg you if you need to come and pray tonight. Some of you have not been faithful to God. So I wonder if there's somebody here tonight that's really thought God let you down and you've quit being faithful to Him. No, you're here tonight. You've quit being faithful to God because you really thought God did you wrong. I don't know the full picture, but I do know one thing. God's faithful. God's faithful. Can I ask you something? If you need to come and pray, if you're praying, I've got in my Bible on Psalms 126, 5 and 6, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I've got 7 families that I'm praying for this year. And I believe God's word is true. You know why? Because God's faithful. Amen. I want you, if you need to come and pray, you do so. It is the God that we sing about, the God we preach about, the God we sometimes brag about. God's faithful. Father, right now, you've got to do a work that I can't. I'm just glad you're faithful and your word is strong. Your word is real. Dear God, you're still able to send revival because you're faithful. You're still able to stir the church because God is faithful. Have we lost our power, Lord? I don't know. But if we have, you're still faithful to give us one more chance. Remember our church. Remember our lives. Help us to be strong. Help us, dear Lord, to understand and stand on the fact that you're faithful. In Jesus' name we do pray. Will you please not look because somebody may...